listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're honored to be here with you, and so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 23 plus years now. So we are honored to be a part of the body of Christ and doing His will in our life. And we hope you get something out of this program today that God has put in our heart over the years. And we've taught on this for many, many years on this radio program, 18 plus years. And just a lot of wonderful things that God wants us to know that a lot of people don't know, even though they've been Christians for many years. And so we're going to try to open up some windows of heaven for you today and see some things that maybe you've never thought or seen before. And because we go with the old standard things we hear about that's been taught for, you know, the last 200 or 300 years, and a lot of it's really not the truth. And so we talked about some things last week about that. We went in there, we talked about the high Sabbath, and that was one of the things that proved that Yeshua could not have died on Friday of that week and all, because there was a high Sabbath. There was the first day of unleavened bread was a high Sabbath.
Amen.
And then the following day was the weekly Sabbath. So there was two Sabbaths during the week of His Passion. So people get that mixed up, and it'll bring clarity. And the charts in my book and all reveal that as well. So if you'd like to get a copy of this book that we talk out of a lot, it's called The Prophetic Calendar, and pictures of the Messiah revealed in God's holy appointed times. And so you can get this book if you want it for $25, plus say $3 or $4 for shipping and handling.
Amen.
And we'd be glad to get it out to you, and you'll get, there's a lot of information. It's hard to cover everything you'd want in an hour or 2 hours. We could talk about Passover for days, but we're going to try to cover another aspect of that here today with you. And maybe you'll be blessed. I'm not going to say maybe. You will be blessed if you listen and understand it in your heart. And so we're just going to release ourselves to that. So, Father, before we start, I'm just glad to do that today.
Amen.
We pray today, Father, in Yeshua's holy name, that all the listeners, wherever they may be, up and down the Treasure Coast, at home on the radio, listening on an internet someplace or on a computer, Lord, we just thank You that You're going to give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to them even today. This is Your holy word. It's always been here. It's never not been here. So open our eyes to see in the spiritual realm what You want us to see and understand. Even the first covenant, everything in there. We know we don't do the ceremonial things anymore, but Lord, there's spiritual aspects with everything that God wrote. Even as Paul declared in Romans chapter 7 that the law, the Torah, it's just, it's good. It's needed by us. We thank You.
Yes.
We thank You that Your word, it's holy, just, and it's good for us. And You even said over there also, He said, that it's spiritual. There's spiritual things in it that we need to know today. So we release every listener that's going to listen to this program right now. We release them to Yeshua and to hear the voice of the Spirit as we teach on these things today in the name above all names, in Yeshua. So we release them right now. Hosamam Dalaba, in Yeshua's mighty name. And we just say amen. So Pastor Donna's got a couple things she wants to mention before we start talking about a few more things here today. So go right ahead, Pastor Donna.
Well, we just want to say have blessings to you and send out blessings to you, because we are in the season of Passover and unleavened bread. And we just want to mention that we're going to be talking about Passover today and unleavened bread and the special, special time of the year that begins in the month of Nisan.
Yes, Lord.
We just had a beautiful full moon, didn't we?
Sure did.
And that's when we're going to be talking about that as well. But I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. On Friday nights, we have Shabbat. We come together and we have our weekly Sabbath night, and we spend time. We have communion together, and we spend time praying for Israel. We should all be praying for Israel and
that's
what's
right.
going
Amen.
On over there right now, and what's happening even in here
the bombings,
in the United Nations and all the things that... how, you know, many people are coming against Israel, but we must
stand with them. Hallelujah.
That's right. Stand with Israel. So we do come together on Friday, and we have communion that night as well. And then we spend time seeking God's presence with some awesome, holy worship music. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And sometimes prophecies, you know, people are on the floor. People are soaking up. Maybe they're sitting in a chair. It might be, you know, it's what. However, the Lord leads us. You know, some people have even got stuck to a wall, haven't they, Pastor Gene?
Yeah,
sure. I have in the past,
yeah.
Or stuck on the floor. You know, but just seeking God's presence, and then we come together on Saturdays. Not every Saturday, but most Saturdays we do. This Saturday we won't, because we're preparing for our Passover Seder. But on Sundays, we normally come together on Saturdays at 4:00, and we. Have a teaching
or
and
a video,
then, and then we have a little meal together, and we close the Sabbath out on Saturdays, so mm-hmm. around 6:00 we do that, and then from 4 to 6, and then we're out of there by maybe 8:00, and then we come together on the first day of the week and to worship God
the Spirit and truth,
for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the Spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And that's on Sundays at 10 a.m. I also want to thank all of you that have called and have been listening. More people are calling and listening, and more people are getting Pastor Gene's the book that the Lord gave him many years ago. And, you know, it's like it's going viral, right, is what I said.
Hallelujah.
And,
let it go, Lord.
Many people are reading it, and some are using it as a teaching tool. Perhaps he will mention some of it. Some of the things he's going to share with you today are in the book. And there's a lot in the book. Not every single feast of the Lord is in the book. Besides also the Purim is in the book. And let's see what else is in the book.
Hanukkah
is in the book. They're not the feasts of the Lord. There are 7 feasts, and we have those two. And then we have the book about Daniel and Revelation.
Two chapters on Daniel 9.
Mm-hmm. And then charts. And so much learning, much study can be done in that book. And one person said, they were still on page 3.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
That's all right.
That's good. And so it takes time to absorb things. And this book, you really don't have to read it according
like
to...
Like a
book. You can just go... What we suggest for people to do, because it's a lot to comprehend all at one time, is read what is in the season you're in now. Like this is the season of...
Read the lessons on Passover.
On Passover.
Two lessons on Passover.
Read the Passover lessons and study that out, and you know, and then look at the charts and see how it's all going to be fulfilled in the last days. Because that's very key to the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. Two of them together, so because there's great charts in the back that picture's worth 1,000 words, isn't it?
That's right.
And then the next one you would want to look at would be Pentecost, because
right.
That's the next one. So you know, you don't have to take them
in order,
but it would be good to read about the calendar and to know how what God's calendar is like. You know, God has a prophetic calendar.
Well, that's not first fruits during
yeah.
unleavened bread, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wonderful things we can find out about our Savior.
That's right. Savior is right. So we want to thank you. And for those who have been ordering books and those who have been studying, and we just know that you're being blessed by it. And we just thank the Lord for this is just a tool. You know, it goes right on. You just open it up and
That's
use
right.
it with your Bible. Use it with your King James Bible. We suggest But, you know, you want to make comparisons, that's fine too. That's well and good, because we're supposed to study to show ourselves a what? Approved.
Approved unto God. A
unto God.
That needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
So I want to mention our telephone number. So if you'd like to give us a call, or you'd like some information, or, you know, something about the, know something about the ministry, just give us a call at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
But that verse we just quoted, the mm-hmm. King James has the word to study to show yourself approved unto
study.
God. All these other Bibles have the word to be diligent. Study, I think, to me is a different word, really. We can be diligent in that, but to study means you're supposed to open up the scriptures and study. And there's a lot of hidden truths in the Bible that people don't realize. And God has a way of showing us those things. And if you're hungry for the Lord, He's going to show you some things that you never, ever thought you'd see. When I wrote this book, I was amazed at some of the things the Lord showed me, because I looked at all the commentaries I used to have, and I got rid of most of that stuff now. And I just look at the King James Bible and my 1828 Webster's Dictionary for a word. And that's it. And I tell you, that's all you need, the Holy Ghost. And He showed me so many things, it just jumped off of the page. And Donna revealed all this when she made these charts in the back of the book. It all fits everything that we're going to talk about today, and in everything during the year with God's appointed time.
It all works together.
The first covenant and the second covenant, and it all revolves around God's appointed times. You know, they're not Israel's appointed times or the Jewish appointed times. They were God's, and then He gave it to Israel and to the Jewish people to introduce it into the world. And so if you're born again, you're grafted in. And so I want you to know, whether you believe it or not, you're a spiritual Jew. And we need to find out what He gave them. And then we're going to grow up and mature, and we'll have a strength within ourselves that only comes from God, not what man may think or say. So we don't believe everything that people say. You got to check it out for yourself. Be a Berean. But you know, I've said this for many years, Pastor Donna. You know, you can listen to tapes and CDs and all that we have over the years, and you know, that's okay. You can listen to it maybe over and over. But there's something about reading the Bible, especially the Bible, but even a book. To read a book where you can read it, go back and go over it again and again, look up the scriptures they have, see if they fit in with what the text is at that particular time. And we've told you so many times on this program that we believe in ABCs, always based on context. So we may have one verse, we can't take it out of context. We go back and maybe read the whole chapter before or after, or a few verses before or after. Find out what the text is saying, and then we kind of get a context from that, what God's trying to tell us. And if we don't, well, then we can come up with any kind of pretext. We see that in a lot of books. They'll just pick scriptures out of different translations of the Bible because it sounds good for what they're trying to teach. No, we got to see what God has for us. And so we use the King James Version Bible, and that's what we stay with. And so as we look at all this, we see that the light just comes on. You see more and more and more. God wants to give you more all the time. He wants you to know and be confident of who your Savior is. He came to redeem us from the curse of sin and death. And He's our healer. He's our everything. And so we have to depend, rely, trust in Him in everything that we do. And so the Holy Word of God is what gives us that confidence. That's the faith that we have. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So when I read my Bible, I read it out loud many times so I can hear. I'm reading it, but I'm hearing it with my ears. I read it out loud. So we get a double whammy when we do that. It's a double shot to understand what God's trying to say to us even this day and this hour. So anyway, we're excited to be here with you again on another Saturday. And, you know, last week we closed out. We were talking about the high Sabbaths and how important they were. And we mentioned it as we closed the program. The high Sabbaths prove that Yeshua could not have died on a Friday, okay? There's no way that could have happened, because we mentioned it as we opened up. There was two Sabbaths during the week of His Passion. There was a high Sabbath on the first day of unleavened bread, and there was also the weekly Sabbath. If we don't understand that, we get all the Sabbaths mixed up and all that. And we even have to look at sometimes with the Greek grammar. We have places in the New Testament, like in Luke 24, talked about the women coming to the tomb in the morning, and it says after the Sabbath. Well, it's in the English, it says Sabbath. But if you look it up in the Greek language, it's plural. They came to the tomb after the Sabbath, showing they honored the first day of unleavened bread and also the weekly Sabbath. So when did they come? Sunday morning.
So
there was a Sunday back in those days.
We know every Saturday, every seventh day is the Sabbath.
It's a Sabbath.
But how many extra Sabbaths? How many high Sabbaths are there?
There's seven of them, and they all revolve around every one of God's appointed times.
high Sabbath.
High Sabbath.
So a high Sabbath is different than the weekly Sabbath.
Weekly Sabbath. They were not to work, just like they do on the Sabbath, but they're very important because God was trying to teach them something at a particular time during the year.
So that's where sometimes some confusion comes into people that may not understand that there are other extra Sabbaths, high Sabbaths,
right,
as well as the weekly Sabbath. We never forget the weekly Sabbath.
Nope. Those high Sabbaths are also called holy convocation, which means it's a moed. It's a time set aside that God wants them to not work and to reflect on Him. And so there's seven of them, which is another number that shows you the completion of God. He's got a 7,000-year plan from the time Adam was on the earth until the end to restore what mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden.
So seven is a very important number, isn't it?
Sure is. So let's do these again for you real quick. The first high Sabbath was on the first day of unleavened bread. The Bible makes that clear. The second one is on the last day of unleavened bread. The next one is on the Feast of Weeks. It's a high Sabbath. The next one's on the Feast of Trumpets. You know, they call it Rosh Hashanah, but it's trumpets. The next one's on the Day of Atonement. And then we have two of them, the first day and the last day of Tabernacles. And the interesting thing, the eighth day of Tabernacles in Judaism is called Rejoicing in the Torah. So who is the Torah? Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is the Torah.
So we're talking about Passover.
Right.
So during this week of Jesus' Passover, and there were two high Sabbaths.
During unleavened bread,
Unleavened bread.
That's right.
Because the Passover is a number of days. Not just the Passover, but the Passover and unleavened bread, it's a number of days.
Well, there's another thing people get confused with. You know, the Passover season sometimes is called the season of unleavened bread. And it really goes from Nisan 10 until the 21st of Nisan, which is the last day of what? Unleavened bread. And then sometimes it's called just the Passover season, okay? So we got to understand what it's all about and how the Jewish people understood what it's all about. You know, they're preparing right now for the Passover. You know, it wasn't a month ago, it's now.
Yesterday, and Nisan 14 was started on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is Saturday, so it goes into today as well. So I'm thinking here that when Yeshua, He is our Passover lamb.
He certainly is.
And so He's the final sacrifice. And the Jewish people now, and we've done Seders before, but this year it's going to be a little different. I feel the Spirit is going to want to take it more on a spiritual route. Because, you know, they do all the ceremonial things. But they also set up a chair for Elijah.
Elijah, yeah.
But they do all these ceremonial things. But we, knowing Yeshua has already
come
and fulfilled
all of it,
all fulfilled this week, his week, his suffering,
that's
his
right,
week of suffering, and his passion. We need to look at it. Of course, we've come out of Egypt spiritually, but you know, just the dropping of the blood on the plate and all the things
for all
the plagues. You know, those are ceremonial things.
Mm-hmm.
Even the hand washing, that's a ceremonial thing.
That's right.
That they do at the beginning. Those are ceremonial things. And what did Jesus say about ceremonial things?
Yeah, what did He say, honey?
Well, He looked at things in a spiritual way. He even
always talked
about them. You wash your hands. And He came against the Pharisees,
that's right,
and the Sadducees because of their traditions.
That's it.
Right? And so we need to look at this as a finished work.
That's right.
See, the Jewish people, they haven't seen that. Their eyes, and we need to pray too, that when they take that matzah, the unleavened bread, and they break that and they hide it away in the afikoman, that when it comes forth, that they see Jesus. His body was broken, not His bones, but His body was ripped, torn, cut, you know.
Bled.
I mean, maybe even to the bone.
Yeah.
You know, His hair, His beard was plucked out. He had nails in His hands and His feet. He had a sword going to His side. All of these things he did for us. And every one of them means something.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, he was raised by a carpenter, right?
That's right.
And so how many times did he put a nail in a piece of wood?
Many, many times, I'm sure.
And then he took the nails in His hands and His feet.
For all of us.
For all of us. The thorns on His head.
Yes, Lord. Thank
right?
You.
Right? And He was on that wood, that tree.
That's
that
right.
Tree. And what was He? He was raised with a carpenter. He learned carpentry.
A lot of people don't realize this. All with the tree that he was on.
Yes.
He's the one that brought the tree into existence, because nothing was made without him.
He's in the beginning. In Genesis 1:1.
The tree he
did. In the very beginning, the very first chapter of Genesis.
That's right.
You see that he's there. You know, it talks about us. Who's the us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Let us make man in our image.
The Godhead.
That's right.
And so when we do our Passover this weekend, we want to see the spiritual. We want to understand what he did spiritually for us. But he did it naturally. Mm-hmm. But now we receive. And when we receive the communion, see, he took over 4 cups, right?
Yeah.
But he hasn't taken that last cup yet. And we'll take that one with him.
In heaven.
Won't we? In heaven.
I was thinking about that this morning a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be a glorious time when he serves us up. We have a communion with him. It'll probably be at a Seder also, you know, to honor.
So what does this unleavened bread represent? It, to us, that we're to get rid of the sin.
That's right.
In our heart, in our mind, wherever it might be.
As much as
whatever,
possible.
Whatever, in our flesh, we're to confess these things. We're to cleanse our house. What
That's
house?
Right.
Well, not just the house we live in, you know, not just the church we go to, but the house, me.
That's right. That's our house.
That's our house.
That's right.
Each person is a house. So if we cleanse our house, and that means, you know, it's not just going to like dusting furniture, no, mm-hmm. or dusting something under the rug. No, you don't, or hiding something. No, God wants us to be clean. He says, be clean, be holy as
be
I
holy.
Am holy.
That's right.
So that unleavened bread, to me, that leaven is a picture of sin, right?
That's right.
And so he wants us to remove all the sin from our life. And
he was the unleavened bread, wasn't he?
And we can only do it because of what he did during this Passion Week.
That's right.
Now you said it started on the 10th.
That's right.
Now I know on my Jewish calendar, and most of them I see, you never see the 10th shadowed in.
All right.
But
that's the day they laid up the lamb.
But that's the day that they laid up the
all
lamb.
All the families laid up the
all
lamb.
All the families. And that's the day that, I believe that's the day that they brought the lambs in the sheep gate from Bethlehem.
That's right.
Now, when we went to Israel, we went to Bethlehem. But, you know, it was, I didn't know this until we went. Do you know Jewish people cannot go into Bethlehem?
That's right.
Jewish people cannot live in Bethlehem.
They got a gate there.
They have a gate.
If you're Jewish, you can't come in.
And our tour guide was Jewish. He had to get off the bus.
Until we came back out.
And he told us that he could not go into Bethlehem.
That's right.
So these lambs came out. That's where
he raised them all there.
What does Bethlehem mean?
That's right.
Yeah, that's where all the lambs, that's where Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. The Lamb of God was born in Bethlehem. All the lambs during that time on the 10th of Nisan were coming in through the sheep gate.
That's right.
And I believe that's the gate at the north in Jerusalem. And at the same time, Jesus, Yeshua,
he came in.
Was coming in the east gate.
That's right.
A different gate.
That's right.
And they were singing what?
Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna means what?
Save us now.
Save us now. Salvation. So here they're hollering Hosanna at one gate, Hosanna at the other gate. Well, are there all these sheep, all these lambs, these young lambs that had to be pure without spot or wrinkle, you know, or without any flaws.
Any kind of flaw, yeah.
Any flaws or anything, you know, any broken bones, any infectious eyes, anything. They had
That's right.
They'd inspect them. And what did they do? They brought them in to inspect them.
For 4 days.
For 4 days, from That's Nisan right. 10 until 14th, when they were killed. So that was the time that Jesus had many, many what? Tough questions, right?
He had the hardest questions ever asked him at that time, those 4 days. That's right.
So
he really examined.
In on Nisan 10 as well.
That's right.
Those 4 days he came in to
so
Jerusalem.
So it's a very significant day.
And he knew he was going to that his death because his disciples even tried to stop him from going, didn't they?
Yep.
But he knew he had to fulfill.
He had to fulfill everything that was written about him.
The call.
If you read over in Exodus 12, that was the beginning of all of the pattern. And they had to lay up a lamb on the 10th of the month. And they had to examine it for 4 days. And then it says on the 14th, between the two evenings. Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying, between the two. But your Bible says at evening Well, the evening we think about in the Hebrew is not the evening that we think about. It's not necessarily at 6 o'clock or seven. That word means between the two evenings. It's past 12 and it's going toward evening. So it's called between the two evenings and it's at 3 p.m. So Jesus had to die at 3 p.m. So it's all there in Exodus chapter 12. So he fulfilled all of that. Three in the afternoon is when he died, when he said it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing we think about what God put in place to teach us. But a lot of people don't realize a lot of those things. But we should understand the depth of what he went through. And he had to fulfill every single thing that was written about him in the first covenant completely, or he could have never been qualified to be our Messiah. But he did.
And we know he had to be in the grave for 3 days
and
three
nights. And he was.
So dying at 3 at in the evening, I mean 3 at 3 p.m. was
part of one day.
Was part of the day.
And then at sunset it became what? It became Nisan 15. There's another day that came, okay? So what was Nisan 15? It was a high Sabbath, so they weren't allowed to do any work, okay? And then the next day was what? The weekly Sabbath, they weren't allowed to do any work on that day. It was a holy convocation. And then Sunday was the day that he came out of the grave on the first day of the week.
But
there was no Sunday back then.
No, the first day of the week. Then days were numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So the women could not go to the tomb
until
on any of those high Sabbath.
Until they were all completed.
That's why they went in when they went.
That's right.
And of course, we know that the grave was empty.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to show you some things here in a moment. We got four examples in the first covenant that proves the day that Yeshua came out of the grave. Now, there's been some teaching for a lot of years that they believe he rose from the grave on Nisan 16. Well, that was the weekly Sabbath. So it can't be, okay? So I'll give you some examples to prove that. It even shows us the time that Jesus came out of the grave. And so we put it all together and we see what a marvelous picture that God gave us hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. And you know, these holy convocations were also called dress rehearsals, basically. They rehearsed these things every year. They went through all the ceremonial things, like at Passover. They did it for almost 1,500 years, and then one day it became the real thing when Yeshua came. But very few people recognized that he was the Messiah at that time. But we'll show you some things here. I think it'll be exciting to you to understand some things that maybe you've never been told or you've misunderstood. And so those high Sabbaths are very important in the scriptures, and a lot of people overlook them. That's why they're called holy convocations. Those appointed times are called Moedim, or God's appointed times. Amen? So, we mentioned this last week, and we'll mention it again today. The two Sabbaths during the week of his passion proves that he could not have died on Friday, okay? And so, we're not going to go into that again. We talked about it last week, but I want to show you a couple of things here. We have four proofs in the first covenant about Jesus' resurrection on Nisan 17th. And it's all revealed in the first covenant. Now, the first one I want to take you to, if you're at home and or you're on your computer, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 8 with you. And I'm going to show you some things right here. Now, this is another thing that a lot of people don't realize. You might listen real close. God reveals in his holy word, he has two calendars in his word. One is, I call it a civil calendar. And the other one's called a spiritual or a prophetic calendar. The civil calendar runs from the fall and the month of Tishri, which is the first month on the civil calendar. It runs all through the year, 12 months, and comes back again. That's why the Jews still honor trumpets as what? The Jewish New Year, because it's on the civil calendar. All right? So they were on that from Genesis 1:1 until they got to Exodus chapter 12 when God brought them out of Egypt, okay? And then he changed the calendar. And so what I'm going to read here to you, this is going to be on the civil calendar. This is in Genesis chapter 8. The calendar had not been changed then. Now, God didn't change the month. He just changed the number on the month. In other words, Tishri 1 used to be the first month on the civil calendar. Well, on the prophetic calendar, now it's going to be the seventh month. Nisan was the seventh month on the civil calendar. Well, now it is what? The first month on the spiritual or prophetic calendar. So it's not that difficult. But look at this. I'll show this to you. I'm going to start reading in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, but after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And listen to this now. And the ark, when the water went down, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month and so on and so and so and so. But verse 4 is key. And the ark rested in the seventh month. Now, it doesn't tell you the name on the month. God never does. So this is the seventh month on the civil calendar. So what month would that be? I just told you. It would be the month of Nisan. Back then it was called the month of Abib, okay, until it was changed to Nisan after the captivity. So it's either Abib or Nisan. We call it Nisan today because we're talking about today. So the ark rested in the seventh month, which was the month of Nisan, on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So what happened there? They were delivered, weren't they? The ark rested, and all the people that were in the ark, they were all saved, and everyone else was destroyed by the flood. So here we have a deliverance, and so it's on the 17th day. That's the first one. Now let's look at another one here. We're going to prove this to you. This is a foreshadow of our Messiah, Yeshua, okay? And this is the day, this was the day of Yeshua's resurrection, hundreds of years in the future. Now the next one we have, we got to go to the book of Exodus now. I'm going to go over to the book of Exodus with you, and I'm going to go to chapter 14 with you. And we're going to look a few verses here in chapter 14. All right? Exodus chapter 14, the first verse I'm going to read is verse 13. And the word of God says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Well, the word salvation in verse 13 is how we get the word Yeshua. So we could really read it like this. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the Yeshua of the Lord." He's going to come in the future, but here we are talking about this time of the year. He said he would fight for them. Okay, now we go to verses 21 through 25. Now look at this real close with me now. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea." Remember, they came to the Red Sea and they had to be parted, and the Egyptians changed their mind and they came after Israel after they promised they'd let them go. And they had a fire by night and a cloud by day. There was a separation. And so they came to the edge of the water, and I'm going to read verse 20. "And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea." This is the Red Sea. "And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land." Can you imagine? It dried the whole land up, Pastor Donna, during that night. "And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Can you imagine? It was a wall of water that they walked right between. Verse 23, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Now, it says in the morning watch. So when was the morning watch? A lot of people don't realize this. Israel had their night hours broken into 3 hours. They had one from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6 in the morning. The morning watch was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So between 3 and 6 a.m., all the Israelites got through, and then God released the water, and all the Egyptians were killed. So this happened to be on Nisan 17. Now you can prove this. We find out when they left Egypt on the 15th, and they traveled. They got to the foot of the Red Sea in the afternoon on Nisan 16, okay? Or you could call it Abib 16. And then in the evening at sunset, it became what? Nisan 17. They went during the night, and in the morning between 3 and 6 a.m., that is when God broke loose what he was going to do with the Egyptians and allowed the Israelites to go through and all that. So here we have a picture again. So what happened? All of God's people was delivered again at that particular time. Isn't it amazing when you think about it? That was on the, now this is still on the civil calendar over here now, okay? Now, let's look at something else about entering the promised land. Let's go over now to the book of Joshua. turn over to the book of Joshua, and I want to take you to chapter 4 and show you something here. And you can write these scriptures down, and you can study this out for yourself. Chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 19 with you. This is, remember, Moses died, the mantle was given to Joshua, and he took him across the Jordan River into the promised land. Verse 19 says this in chapter 4 of Joshua. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. All right. Now, when is this? This is no longer the civil calendar because we're past Exodus chapter 12. Okay. So the first month now on the civil, the civil calendar was changed, but on the first month of the spiritual prophetic calendar, the first month now became the month of Nisan and not the month of Tishri, which is in the fall. So this is on what? The 10th day of the first month. This is the day, Exodus chapter 12, when the calendar was changed, that they laid up a lamb, okay? And the whole family had to examine it for 4 days. So the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Actually, the first day we call a Passover season. Mm-hmm. And encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jordan. The word Gilgal in the Hebrew means rolled away. All the problems they had were being rolled away at that time. It's amazing when we think about it. Now, I'm going to go over to chapter... We're still in... still in chapter 4. I want to read verses 21 through 25 with you. And I'm looking to make sure I got this right. In chapter... I'm thinking about Exodus. We're still in Joshua chapter 4. We read verse 19. Now I want to read verses 5, 10 through 12. Chapter 5, 10 through 12. Now listen to this really close. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. Remember, they came across on the 10th of Nisan and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at eve. This means between the two evenings at 3 p.m. in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. This is Nisan 15 now. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And then verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn. This is now Nisan what? 16. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land. So the 17th is when they went in and began to grow their own crops and all that. It shows this whole procession for us to understand about Yeshua and everything that he had to fulfill. It's amazing. So that was in Joshua, about entering the promise. And when did they enter? At the Passover season. What happened? They were delivered, just like they were delivered through the Red Sea. They were delivered over in Genesis chapter 8 from the flood. It's a symbol of deliverance. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, the last few weeks we've talked about, we went through the time of Purim, and we talked about Haman. Haman. And all, we have many scriptures over there in the book of Esther. You can read about that, about Haman and what happened to him. And so we, if you look at it real close over, they cast lots on in the month of Nisan, and we find out that they determined the month and the day that the Persians were going to come and try to destroy the Jews. Well, we know if you read the whole book of Esther, you find out that the tables got turned, and instead of the Jews being killed, it wound up being that the Persians, that group of people, were killed themselves. And Haman was hung on the gallows, by the way, on Nisan 17. You can prove it in the scriptures there. I'm not going to go into that, but you can prove it. The exact day in the future that Yeshua would come out of the grave. So when Haman died on that gallows, what happened? The power of what happened with him and his family generations back, because God's people disobeyed God, was broken at that particular time. So there was a deliverance that came to the Jewish people in the land of Persia at that time. Well, Jesus fulfilled this because on Nisan 17, he rose from the grave. So what did he do for us? It's another deliverance. When he came out of the grave and we accept him into our life, what do we have? He broke the power of sin and death in our life. So another deliverance. So there you are. We have four things all about deliverance. So remember that all four of these examples that I shared with you have only one central truth, which is what? Deliverance. And the resurrection of the Messiah on Nisan 17 also brought deliverance to all mankind that would accept Yeshua. The deliverance came in two aspects. The first aspect was our deliverance from sin, and second aspect was our deliverance from the power of Satan. It's been broken if we come to Yeshua and walk with him. Therefore, the Messiah is the fulfillment of all these foreshadows in his word. And we talked about Gilgal, means rolled away. The sins were rolled away. So we have some beautiful patterns and pictures with all this to teach us about the Messiah. So we have to keep all this in mind. And we won't have all this confusion that we've had up to now with a lot of things about what Christ did and all that. See, even Exodus chapter 14 shows us the time that Yeshua came out of the grave when the women came. In the morning watch between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. It's revealed right there. It's a pattern for us. And so I get excited about this because we're getting truth that we maybe never heard before. People just read over these things and we don't really look at those things the way God would want us to know. And so we have a precious thought about our Savior and knowing that He died for us and He had plans for us one day to be in the kingdom of God. You know, Joshua took them over in the promised land. One day we're going to be taken over into the promised land as well. And so Passover is an important time, isn't it, Pastor Don? You got something you want to interject there? I've been doing all the talking.
Amen. It's good.
But, you know, we think about these high Sabbaths, 7 of them during the year. And we have to remember that God chose 3 appointed times for all the males in Israel to be in Jerusalem at these appointed times. All of them, they had to travel from all over different parts of the world to get there. Some of them took 3 or 4, 5, 6 months to get there. And so the first one they had to be to was what? The Passover. And what was that all about? A blood covering. And then they had to be there at the Feast of Weeks. That's when the Holy Ghost came. And then they had to be there at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we are the tabernacle of God when we come to Yeshua. Remember, all 3 of these are all harvest festivals. There's a harvest that's coming, showing souls and all that coming in to the kingdom of God. And so there's so much in it. And the depth of it is just totally amazing. We can never get all of it, but we do our best to understand the whole thing as we study it and understand what God's trying to show us in a greater dimension than we've ever known before. And so Passover, Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, and Tabernacles are so important. And so we honor those things every year as we teach on the radio here. We teach it at church. We want people to be informed, to understand, and they can get this book and they can study this. And so we have to understand what God wants you to know in a deeper realm than ever before. You know, I thought about this today, Pastor Don. Mm. You know, Israel was actually owned by the Pharaoh while they were in Egypt for 400 years. You can see this in Genesis 47:13-9. He actually owned them. They were all in slavery where they were in bondage. Amen. But you know, when they came out, they were thinking about going back into all that bondage again and having their onions and leeks and garlic and all that. And so if they would disobey God, they could have went in the promised land in 11 days, but they failed. And so, you know, Moses had to go ask Pharaoh to allow God's people to go into the wilderness. He mentioned several times over there in Genesis. For 3 days to sacrifice unto their God. There's several scriptures that reveal that. Exodus 3:18, 5:3, 8:27, and 10:9. These 3 days were very significant for Israel and prophetically for the church as well. Let's look at 8 aspects of the 3 days. This is a very key that most people don't know about. We're going to look at these, okay? The first one, it was a length of time Yeshua was in his tomb. What? How long? 3 days. The second thing, Pharaoh's ownership was broken over God's people when he finally allowed them to go 3 days' journey for the purpose of holding a feast unto the Lord. This is in Exodus 5:1 and also 10:9. The third thing, because Pharaoh hardened his heart or sinned against God's word, a picture of Satan, that was revealed in Exodus several places, went after Israel for 3 days. He went after them. The next thing, if Pharaoh had kept his word to God, Moses would have been obligated to return to Egypt after 3 days. And why? Because God cannot lie. Moses requested 3 days. Joseph's bones, we know, was there in Egypt. This reveals that in Exodus 13:9. And the next thing, Pharaoh transgressed his own commandment of telling Israel that they could go these 3 days. And then he changed his mind and began to pursue God's people. Therefore, he was responsible for his own death. If he'd only obeyed, maybe he wouldn't have died, but he didn't. Pharaoh did die in the Red Sea. Some people think he didn't, but Psalm 136:15 proves that he died. The next thing, why did they ask to go 3 days into the wilderness? That's a good question. Because Moses was even afraid of the Egyptians, knowing that sacrificing a lamb was an abomination to the Egyptians. He did not want to anger Pharaoh and his people. Isn't that incredible? That's in Exodus chapter 8. The next thing, the key thing we must understand is that the ownership of God's people had to be broken before they can leave Egypt. This is key. When was the power ownership by Pharaoh broken? It's in Exodus 14, 26 through 27, reveals that when Pharaoh died, the ownership was what? Was over at that particular time. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? There's those eight things. Now, I thought about this to share with you too. Remember, at the Passover, all the families were required to sacrifice a lamb or a goat, and also in the temple. But remember, the ones in the temple were not for the nation of Israel. It was a picture, a pattern of individual salvation. If they did the right thing like they did in Exodus chapter 12 and put the blood on the doorpost and lintel, they were passed over and they were saved. They did not die in those plagues that were over, those 10 plagues that happened, okay? So it's a picture and pattern of individual salvation. That's what the Passover is all about. That we individually can be delivered from the power of sin and death, can't we, Pastor Donna, by turning to Christ. Now, the one at the Day of Atonement, at the latter part of the year, there is a lamb sacrificed in the temple and sacrificed for the entire nation. And you read that over there in Leviticus chapter 16. The priest had to do everything right, and if not, they wouldn't be accepted. And so that one was for the entire nation of Israel. It's the corporate salvation of Israel. That's why I believe with all my heart, the day that Yeshua will come back literally to put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it talks about in Acts chapter 1, will be on the Day of Atonement. He's coming back for the Jewish people on that particular day. The Day of Atonement was assigned to them and to no one else. So we got an interesting thing. But see, the Passover is for everyone. It's for everyone, all the Jewish people, any other people in the other nations that were there. They want to do what God told them to do with Israel. They could be a part of that. Remember when they came out of Egypt? It said there was a mixed multitude come out. Some of the Egyptians realized that all those plagues and all that was done, that the Jews were protected during that and the Egyptians were not. So they said, hey, I want that. And so they did the same thing. They got a lamb or a goat and sacrificed it, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and they killed it between the two evenings, and they moved out with the rest of the Jewish people. So it's incredible to think about what God has put in place. And so it's amazing, amazing, amazing pattern. There's so much in it that we could talk about that goes into a lot of depth. But you've got to keep that in mind. The Passover is an individual thing. The day I came to the Lord on September 26, 1982, I was passed over. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I went from death to life in a moment of time, and so did my wife as well. Amen.
Awesome.
It's incredible.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
What else? You got something else you want to share there, Pastor Don? We got about 10, almost 11 minutes left. I was just thinking about some of the interesting things that we have. We could talk about. We talked about the calendar. Hallelujah. So we have to remember that. Remember, the month of Nisan, or Abib, on the prophetic calendar became the beginning of the year, the beginning of months, instead of the month of Tishri on the civil calendar. Now, I might just share this. They may not understand that. I was confused with this for a lot of years. I'm just going to share this with you, and then I'll let Pastor Donna talk.
Thank you, Lord.
If we go over to Joel chapter 2. When I read this when I first got saved, I could never understand this. But with the understanding, with the Jewish thought, after I got into the Judaism of everything, then I began to realize it. If you go to Joel chapter 2, I'm going to show you the verse that I was struggling with for so many years, and then you think about it. This is the verse, okay? Well, I'm going to read 21 through 23. It's the prophet says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength." Now here's our key verse. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former, and the latter rain in the first month." Now this is an interesting verse. The word rain, is a word that can also mean a teacher of righteousness. And so he has given you the former rain, and this is about Yeshua coming moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the teacher of righteousness. The former rain, when's the former rain? It was in the spring. Now these on the civil calendar, it was in the fall, but this is on the spiritual calendar, prophetic calendar. Now the former rain, which was in the spring, and the latter rain in the first month. The latter rain is in the latter part of the year, like during the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, the question I always had for years was this. How can you have a rain in the spring and a rain in the fall and call it in the first month? Well, the answer is because God has two calendars in his Bible. Isn't that interesting? Yeshua himself has already fulfilled the civil calendar. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I'll take that back. I'm thinking about that. I'll say, take that out of your thought now. Jesus fulfilled the spiritual or prophetic calendar at Passover when God changed the numbers on the month, okay? He fulfilled what? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. He fulfilled all that. The last three, he has not. They're in the latter part of the year. But it's called the first month on the civil calendar. He must also fulfill that calendar. So when will he fulfill that? When he comes back, glory be to God, and puts his foot again on the Mount of Olives. That's when it will be fulfilled. It's incredible. So he has to fulfill both of those. So the other four, he's taking care of. And we have people saying, well, Jesus could come back at Passover again one year or at Pentecost. No, that's already been fulfilled. But these last three have not. Hallelujah. Trumpets is a pattern of resurrection, okay? The Day of Atonement is a sign for the Jews. And then what's tabernacles? It's when we have an ingathering. We all come together and we're going to go into the kingdom of God, and that's when God's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. It's an amazing, amazing pattern and picture. So that verse, Joel 2:23, troubled me for a lot of years until I got into the Jewish roots way back in 1988. You can't have the former and latter rain in the first month on a regular calendar we look at. How? It's talking about a spiritual thing, okay? And it's showing here that there's two calendars that Yeshua has to fulfill. He had to fulfill both of those, or he could not be our Messiah. So isn't that incredible? So remember, he fulfilled the former rain with the first four appointed times that God put in place, and the latter rain, he'll fulfill them also in the first month, the month of Tishri, on the civil calendar. Glory, hallelujah. I'm about ready to jump out of my chair here, Pastor
Dunn. Thank you, Lord.
And start doing a little run around here, dancing, doing a little shout. Because It's all here. It's never not been here. It's always been here. It's amazing when we think about it. So we just praise God for all that he's doing. We think about these blood moons we went through the last 2 years. You know, there have been four of them and all that. In chapter 2, verse 31, it says, at this time, the sun shall be turned into darkness. That means there's going to be a solar eclipse. And the moon into blood. There's going to be a lunar eclipse before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. But we had four of them in the last few days, or last couple of years. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, here we are, delivered.
That's right.
Delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord, what? And the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Whew. And he goes on and talks about gathering the nations together.
Glory.
Amen. Wonderful. So that's some more things about Passover. We're down to about 5 minutes to go.
Thank you, Lord.
But as you read your scriptures, a lot of things you'll read about it. Once you understand the Passover more fully, you'll see a lot of it all through the scriptures, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome time.
Yeah.
Awesome time. This time of the year.
We should take it.
It's the beginning of the year.
That's
we
right.
We should examine ourselves.
That's right.
We should examine ourselves. And I believe that's what part of the counting the Omer is, because we talk about the Torah. We didn't talk about the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading the Torah, and we're reading Torah scriptures as the Jewish people read them every week. And this was the time of the giving of the law as well, which perhaps we can talk about that next week, because it was the time of coming up to when the giving of the law at Pentecost. So there's an appointed time of counting certain things, counting days,
yeah.
And to bring it up to the 50th day. That's you know, 50 is a very important number as well in the Bible. It's a good number, amen.
Sure.
It's a number of jubilee. It's a number.
Hallelujah.
It's a time of the law being given, and I believe it's, you know, it's the weight. It's the counting of the Omer during that time. We didn't talk much about that this week, but perhaps we can talk more about that next week.
We're counting it now, aren't we?
Start counting it.
Yeah,
that's right. And you know, we should be. Looking, I like, there's a scripture in Psalms talks about muse, M-U-S-E, and it means, you know, to meditate, to really think deeply about things. And I think when we think deeply, I'm not sure where it's at, the Bible, so I think it's one of the Psalms 140 something or something or another, but it's very important to do these things.
Right.
To be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
To be sincere with
Thank
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And that word is in, if you, we look it up in the definition of that word, it's a powerful word.
Sure
it's a
is.
Powerful word. And it's used in the Psalms. It's in one of the Psalms. But it means to have deep thought, you know, that we need to think deeply about things mm-hmm. with our mind and with our heart. And,
thank you, Lord.
And we muse upon these things. And we want to fill ourselves with hearing the Word of God. So it's important. It's important for us to be thinking about these things and to ponder, to think closely, to study, like you said, to study, study in silence, to be quiet, and to know that God is God, and that the Lord did fulfill all these things. And, you know,
sure
that the
did.
Jewish people would muse upon this time of Passover. I believe many of them would come to know the truth.
That's right.
Come to know the truth. It's actually in Psalm 143. It says, I muse on the works of thy hand. That's one scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to think about how awesome the Lord is and the wonderful to meditate and the work that he did during that Passion Week and even the things that he taught. We didn't read anything from the New Testament, but perhaps next week we need to read some things that he spoke about. And even during those days that followed, when after the resurrection, mm-hmm. you know, he walked the streets and he taught them
the
things of the kingdom.
That's right.
And those are things that we need to talk about that next week, the things of the kingdom that Yeshua talked about. And so there's so much. Anyways, a lot
incredible.
Of this information is in this book
Pastor
Gene has made. It's called Pictures of the Messiah and God's Prophetic Calendar. If you'd like to have it, it's $25 plus shipping and handling. Just give us a call. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So give us a call, and we'd be glad to speak with you.
Yes. Well, it's been a pleasure to be on the air with you today. There's so much in this, but you know, I think about it. The Passover season, Jesus coming, it's the most important event that ever happened in history. It's the most important
Amen.
Thing that ever happened.
Amen.
And so, you know, all the Jews in the first cover all looking for the Messiah to come. Well, now we know he's come. A lot of them don't realize that yet. But now we can look back and see what all he did for us. So it's incredible how the picture is being put in place for us to fully understand.
Amen.
Well, anyway, we love you. That's why we're on this program. Hope you got something out of this. And so as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.